Yeah, the Monty Show on a Thursday. It's March 15th. It's opening day of the tournament. And that's why this is the anti-NCAA tournament show. I'm Monty. That's Jake. Say hello, Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Good to see you, buddy. We'll talk a lot of Colin Kaepernick today. Isn't Colin Kaepernick remarkably similar to Mike Vick? I think he is. We've got to talk about cocaine and ESPN.
Cocaine.
Trump got divorced. The Curry Five is out. Gordon Hayward doesn't need shoes. The Lakers lost, and now they have an IT problem. The Yankees can hit, and dogs should go to Kansas City, not Japan.
Okay.
Unless you fly on United Airlines. Follow this show on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Jake, let's talk a little Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick?
Kaepernick.
Oh, we're Hello. Camping? Let's talk a little Colin Kaepernick, because Cap is in the news today. There is a video of Kaepernick throwing and lifting weights. He lifts a lot of weights. I don't know if you heard that.
Do you even lift?
Do you even lift? There's a lot of Kaepernick video out there today, and I think it's fairly interesting. I think it is remarkable the shape that he is in. Mechanically, he looks far superior than he ever did when he played in the NFL, throwing the ball. He is ripped. He is in shape, and he doesn't have a job. Are you surprised that here we are on March 15th, 2018, and Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job?
I'm a little surprised that he hasn't even gotten a sniff, not even a, hey, come to the table and let's have a little chat. I mean, he hasn't had even an opportunity to talk to anybody, which is, that's the surprising part to me. No, I'm not surprised he doesn't have a job. I'm surprised that nobody's even given him the light of day. And I think in a time when social media and your image as a person defines you, essentially, people don't really care about, you know, who you may be now in 2018. They only care about what you did on the sideline several times, you know, and I think that's the unfortunate part for Kaepernick. I don't know if he's ever going to get a job again, and that's a pretty sad thing.
I think it is a sad thing. I still believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I still believe that Colin Kaepernick, A, belongs in the NFL, number one. Talent-wise, ability-wise, Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL. But B, I believe he will get that shot from somebody somewhere. Maybe it's Canada. I don't know. Colin Kaepernick has not played his last professional down as a football player. I don't know. I really have nothing to back that up with. But common sense in my experience tells me that Cap will get a shot in the NFL. And I was just thinking through this. Excuse me. I was thinking through this today. And the thing that I can't get out of my head is, how did the NFL embrace Mike Vick after he got out of prison in 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
He signs a second $100 million contract, yet Colin Kaepernick can't get a job. Mike Vick, a convicted dog murderer, can get a job and make $100 million, and Colin Kaepernick cannot because he's too much of a pariah. How is that even logical? That a dog murderer gets a job and Colin Kaepernick cannot. Do you see what?
Yeah, I see the hypocrisy, and I think it all boils down to the fact that owners want to keep making money. And what I mean by that is, what did Mike Vick do? He committed a crime against the law. He paid his time. He did his time.
19 months.
He did exactly what he was asked to do. He didn't have any other issues beside that, and he made his return. And so I think
But don't say beside that. He went to federal prison
right.
in Leavenworth, Kansas
yeah.
for 19 months.
Yeah.
2 more months of house arrest. Didn't play football. And he got a job with the Philadelphia Eagles. Those are the realities of it. He not only murdered dogs, he ran a dog fighting ring.
Right.
Made tons of money doing it. Went to prison for 19 months. And was signed by the Philadelphia Eagles.
And by all accounts, was a different person after prison.
Might be true. By all accounts, I would agree he was a different person. Colin Kaepernick is not a dog-murdering federal felon.
Right.
He's a guy who exercised his First Amendment rights under the Constitution.
And that's true, but I think a lot of people disagree with what he said. And I think a lot of those people are powerful people in the NFL. And I think a lot of those people, specifically owners, I think they don't like the PR firestorm that I think people assume will come if you sign him. And I don't know if it will or not. I don't know what the reaction would be.
There's been all kinds of controversial signings in the NFL.
Well,
is Johnny Manziel got a better chance of getting a job than Colin Kaepernick?
At this point, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think anybody would bring him back.
I think RG3 might be the quarterback who's just dead to the world.
Yeah.
But Colin Kaepernick deserves another shot. He's earned another shot.
I agree.
You see all these NFL players out there talking about how they support him, how they want to see him back in the league. You hear the Ravens story from last year. Dante Buancore on Twitter, I hope I got that right, Dante, said, well, the Ravens were going to get him a shot, and then his girlfriend ripped off a racist tweet, which we then later found out John Harbaugh had friends in the military who warned him not to sign Kaepernick. And now Kaepernick, I think part of the problem is, and I think it hurts him more than it helps him, Kaepernick is suing the NFL owners for collusion to keep him out of the league. I don't know that that helps. Maybe it certainly doesn't help. No. I think it hurts him. It certainly does not help him.
Well, I just think it contributes to hurting him. There's no doubt about it. And I think when you're in a position that Kaepernick is in, you need to have the ball rolling downhill in your favor.
What will he have to do to get back in the NFL, in your opinion? Is this the narrative last year was, well, he's got to cut that afro. By the way, if you watch the video on my timeline, the Monty ridiculous. Show, M-O-N-T-Y, the Monty Show, thankfully Colin Kaepernick did not cut his afro to get back in the NFL.
Right.
What would he have to do to get back in the NFL?
I think he's got to do a lot of PR work. That's my honest opinion on it. I think he needs to change people's minds about who he is as a person. He still has those same beliefs, I would guess.
What do you mean who he is as a person?
He needs to say, hey, look, I'm not coming out. I'm not going to come out and light the franchise on fire if you sign me, because I think that's owner's biggest fears. Hey, all right, I'm going to sign Colin Kaepernick to whatever role he fits on our team, whether that's starting or whether he's the backup. Either way, I'm going to sign this guy. And I think a lot of owners would love for Colin Kaepernick to agree not to kneel during the national anthem. We all know Colin Kaepernick's probably not going to do that. And I think that right there is a part of
the issue. I don't think there's anything that says he's going to kneel. Colin Kaepernick has said that it's not for sure that he would, or he's not kneeling to protest the NFL.
Right, but it's not about protesting the NFL. I think it's about causing issues for owners that they don't want to deal with. They don't want the problems. There's already enough problems with guys off the field as it is.
Yeah. Hey, look, I hear that. Greg Hardy or Colin Kaepernick?
I'm with you on Colin Kaepernick. I like the guy. I think he exercised his rights.
But then why is he put in the same category as a Ray Rice? Why is he put in the same category as Mike Vick or a Johnny Manziel?
You're saying he's put in that category by the owners?
A pariah. I think in general, there's so many people who believe that Colin Kaepernick is a problem. Colin Kaepernick is not a problem. He has never shown to be a problem.
But isn't that the problem right there? That the majority of the people think Colin Kaepernick is a problem and will continue to be a problem if you sign him.
Perception is absolutely reality.
So that's what I'm saying. You got it. That's the word I was looking for.
So you think that Colin Kaepernick needs to embark on a
just get on freaking Twitter and make a bunch of videos of, like, today he released some videos of him throwing and working out and
lifting
all this
stuff. Weights and throwing in Houston.
Doing football and activities that he would be doing if he was signed with a team, essentially.
Yes, correct.
Do more of that and get yourself out there on
social
media.
But he's given away $1 million of his own money to different charities. He pledged to do that when he signed his contract. He followed through even after he lost his job. So Cap did exactly what he said he would do. He hasn't been arrested. He's not been in trouble. He's not been
a
troublemaker.
Periscope is saying he's too old. He's 30 years old.
He's 30 years old, but the guy hasn't played any. No.
I don't think he is.
He's not too old. Guys are playing, and Tom Brady's playing into his 40s.
But again, I know. Yeah, I think that's kind of an unfair comparison because of Cap's style. But
how is Colin Kaepernick a troublemaker? I think that's probably
the
word.
Kneeling thing.
Well,
still.
I think the kneeling thing is interesting. So why is every player who knelt not cut?
Because I think Colin Kaepernick was the father figure of
that movement.
The whipping
boy. He's the guy they chose to use to make an example.
And he's the guy who wore pig socks, and he's the guy that defied the
owners.
Wore
a Castro t-shirt.
He's the guy that's suing the NFL. Like, he's the guy that's doing all this stuff.
So you don't think there's any way he gets back into the NFL?
I don't think there's any way he gets back into the NFL unless he gets out. I always say this, don't I? You have to get out in front of what you want to happen. So if you want to get back in the NFL, which he wants to do,
yeah,
then you need to he needs to forge a relationship of some kind. He needs to figure out how to come to terms with the owners. I'm not saying he should quit on his beliefs. I'm not saying that he should give in. But what I am saying is, if you really want to play in the NFL that bad, you're going to have to negotiate your way in. It really, to me, is
that
simple.
It makes me wonder about his agent. It really makes me wonder about that. And, you know, I don't know. I'm curious as to why the Seahawks didn't sign him last year, because that sounded like it was very close.
I think it was close.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why didn't they sign him? Because they didn't want him to push Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. He's got two relatively unknown agents. I think he needs a guy like a Drew Rosenhaus, a guy that has relationships, who's managed difficult personalities, who has relationships around the NFL.
He needs a nameplate.
He needs somebody who can pick up the phone and call owners directly.
Yeah.
That's what he needs.
Yeah.
He needs a relationship guy. He doesn't need to cut his hair. He doesn't need to come out and make a statement saying, I'm not going to kneel. That's not what he needs to do. He needs to show, A, he's in football shape and he's working on his game. And he's shown that. His mechanics looked good in those videos and his body is ripped. The guy's ready to step into a camp today. He just needs that shot. I'd love to see somebody give him a training camp invite. There are so many teams that need quarterbacks, and it's a little surprising that the Chicago Bears would go with a guy like Chase Daniel, who has never been a starter in the league and is a pedestrian quarterback.
Yeah.
You would find a guy that you know, the A.J. McCarrons of the world.
Isn't A.J. McCarron a great example?
Yeah.
There is no way in hell that anybody would take A.J. McCarron over Colin Kaepernick. Like, if none of the kneeling stuff and all the controversy stuff had ever happened, I think people would take Kaepernick over McCarron.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting. That's all I'll say. I think Colin Kaepernick eventually gets another shot. I don't know where that is. I don't know how that happens. My guess is that the lawsuit is almost inconsequential, because proving collusion is nearly impossible. I mean, it's nearly impossible, but Colin Kaepernick showed in that video that he is...
He's ready to go, man.
He's ready to go. A video that we saw last night that didn't show a guy is ready to go would be Isaiah Thomas barking at Julius Randle. The two had to be separated by teammates, and immediately everybody jumped to the conclusion that Isaiah Thomas is a problem for the Lakers. And I would say right now, today, he's not a problem for the Lakers. After the season is over, once we get to middle of April, he's a problem for the Lakers. Because Julius Randle is way more important. And number two, Isaiah Thomas doesn't fit who they are as an offense. He's a black hole when it comes to his game. He's a guy who does not pass a lot. He shoots a ton. I just don't think he's a fit there. And when your number one target is LeBron James, I just think you can't have Isaiah Thomas on the team. There's so many reasons,
yeah,
but just the baseline peripheral view. You can't have Isaiah Thomas on the same team as LeBron James, and I don't think he's going to help you develop anybody.
And I don't know that he's worth keeping around. He's capable of putting up points and giving you a nice game on the stat sheet, but in my opinion, he's not playing because he loves to be a Laker. He's playing because he wants that free agent contract. That's what he wants. He wants to go somewhere and start. That's all he cares about.
That was a huge problem.
It's a mistake. It's a misstep.
Isaiah Thomas came out and said, quote, I ain't no sixth man. I'm a starter.
That mentality right there is a problem.
I'm a two-time all-star. Who cares if you're a two-time All-Star? Who cares?
Get to double digits before you start talking about All-Star appearances.
He averaged 29 points in Boston, and I think that was clearly the top of the mountain for Isaiah Thomas, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the Lakers do with him. I know they're not going to bring him back. And Isaiah Thomas, where does Isaiah Thomas fit into anybody's team? Look around the league right now. Look at the best teams. And you find me a team where Isaiah Thomas is a good fit, because his game is awkward. There's no doubt about that. His best game is running the break and hitting pull-up threes. The one thing he does really well for the Lakers is he hits pull-up threes.
Yeah.
And there's some value in that. He's not 29-point-a-game Isaiah Thomas. Because I don't think, if you look at the teams who need a guard, if that is any of the playoff teams in the West, I can't think of one team. Golden State, he isn't a fit.
No.
He just doesn't play that style of ball. If I look at the Utah Jazz, doesn't fit that team at all. The Clippers, maybe the Clippers, but you already have a bunch of high volume guys. Lou Williams, the Clippers could be a fit.
Like, would you take Lou Williams over Isaiah Thomas?
Yes.
I would too.
Yes, I would. This Andrew Wiggins thing in Minnesota is getting ugly. Andrew Wiggins is telling people that he's upset he's the third option in Minneapolis for the T-Wolves. And here's the problem for Andrew Wiggins. He hasn't exploded as a superstar. And he's a wing player, and he had the opportunity to do that, and he hasn't. He's kind of wilted behind Jimmy Buckets, and I think that's a huge problem for him.
Yeah,
because he's not a Thibodeau guy.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think when you're Andrew Wiggins and a guy like Jimmy Butler is brought in, you're either going to thrive with Butler and that relationship is going to get built and you guys are going to be excellent together, or you're going to do what he did and you're going to wilt and become – I wouldn't say he has become less of a player. He just hasn't grown the way you'd like to see him
grow.
Yeah,
his impact has shrunk.
Yeah.
His impact
and
on
– it's not unfair to say he is a third option because he is the third option.
He's not – Karl Anthony Towns should always be your number one option.
Yes.
I think he's one of the best players in the NBA. And if he ever figures out things on the defensive end, Cat Towns will be the best player in the NBA. I don't even think that's a stretch. Jimmy Butler is your second option. Andrew Wiggins is your third option. And if that's an issue for Andrew Wiggins, he won't be there. But again, Isaiah Thomas doesn't fit there. He doesn't fit in New Orleans, in my opinion. They're good. They are an outside or an inside-out team. They play inside first. He's a high-volume perimeter player.
Yeah.
So I don't think he fits there. There's no way he and Russ can play together in Oklahoma City. Sorry. Portland's interesting. They've got five really good players. Yeah, I shouldn't say five. They've got three really good guards. I don't know how you fit him into that.
No, he wouldn't start there.
No,
no
he's
chance.
Definitely not going to start there. So, okay, go to the bottom of the Western Conference. Memphis? Sure. Memphis is terrible. They have nothing to lose. They're not going to pay him what I think. They're not going to pay him $15, $16 million
a year. Personality-wise, I don't know that is a fit because Memphis, what is Memphis? They're a gritty team. They're a grinded-out kind of team. And I don't know that Isaiah Thomas is that guy.
Not going to work in Dallas.
No.
Because he's not going to start in Dallas. Phoenix, Sacramento, no, you're young there. So it's not working in L.A., in my opinion. And Denver doesn't need him. I don't see a place in the West where he fits. And I certainly don't see a place in the East. But even a bigger story than that, let me ask you this. Is he worth it? He's a small guy. He's 5'5", 5'6". I think he's listed at 5'7". He ain't 5'7". I've stood next to him. He's 5'5", 5'6", maybe. He's a smallish guard. Who's a high-volume scorer, needs the ball, and by all accounts, he's a difficult guy in the locker room. Is Isaiah Thomas worth it to be one of your core players?
Not in the current state of the NBA. I think there are too many excellent guards who are not a problem in the locker room. I mean, if
yeah.
you... Because I would match him up again. I would compare him to the best guards in the league because that's what he says he is, right? So
yes.
If you're going to say you're one of the best in the league, I should be able to compare you to the best in the league. I'm not taking you over, certainly not taking you over Steph. I'm not taking you over Russ or Damian Lillard or
that
even CJ McCollum.
That conversation gets worse. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. So he's not even, in my opinion, he's not even a top 10 guard in the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say he's probably top 15, but not top 10.
But I mean, we're watching the Clippers and Rockets.
Yeah.
There's guards all over that game. He's not better than any guard that starts for any of those teams.
He's not better than Eric Gordon.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, if you look at, is he, because Isaiah Thomas, I also don't think is a true point guard, right? Ricky Rubio, you take him over. Oh, I take Ricky. For the Jazz, I take
for
Ricky Rubio.
For the Jazz, I would take Ricky Rubio. Yes. In general, I think it's very close. I think it depends on what you want out of your point guard.
But listen, listen to these guards.
Yeah.
He's not better than James Harden, Dame, Steph, Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, Drew Holiday in New Orleans. Isaiah Thomas is not better than Drew Holiday. Sorry.
It's close. But
Drew's really solid. Dennis Schroeder in Atlanta.
I'll take
Schroeder.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, no. Goran Dragic in Miami.
I'll take IT3.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that might be well. Okay. Eric Bledsoe in Milwaukee. No.
No.
I'll take Bledsoe.
Yeah, I'll take Bledsoe.
Kyle Lowry.
Lowry all day.
Ben Simmons, come on. Jamal Murray. I hate Jamal Murray. I hate everything about
him. He's talented.
I'll take Jamal Murray. Not Dennis Smith, no. Jordan Clarkson doesn't start.
Is a fair comparison size-wise, and I think the only thing going against Dennis Smith is he's playing for a terrible organization and he's young.
Yeah, well, but Dennis Smith he's got superstar written all over him.
Yeah.
If you watch him play, man.
He's athletic, man.
He's everything you want. Now we get into the secondary scores. Jordan Clarkson.
I'll take Jordan Clarkson.
Jeff Teague.
I'll take Jeff Teague.
Chris Dunn. I'm taking Chris Dunn. I know Chris Dunn's game really well as a Bulls fan. Chris Dunn's a hell of a player. Hell of a player. Is IT a better scorer than Chris Dunn? Maybe.
Not a better defender.
Certainly not. Alfred Payton. Yeah, I'd take IT. But I don't think there's any way he goes back to Phoenix. Dinwiddie in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's one of the first places it comes up. D'Angelo. Although he's a 2-3, D'Angelo handles the ball a lot for them.
Well, because it's Brooklyn, though.
Yeah.
He didn't handle the ball a lot in L.A. He was more their scoring option. So, look, I mean, if it's between him and D'Angelo Russell,
I'm probably taking. Did you see D'Angelo score 24 points in 7 minutes the other night?
But but what I'm saying is, if you feed Isaiah Thomas and you just let him beat his guy, he's going to put up 30-35 easy.
All of this to say, there's not a starting point guard in the league that I would take IT3 over. Yeah. Isaiah Thomas is going to have a real problem finding a place where he can start.
He's not going game to in a good team, out. Getting paid and going to win. That's not going to happen.
No, this is that discussion we have all the time.
Yeah,
he's not a championship level player. Isaiah Thomas is a bottom four player, right? Like if you go back to standings, Isaiah Thomas is a guy who can play on the Atlanta Hawks.
Kemba Walker or Isaiah Thomas?
Kemba Walker. Orlando Magic, Brooklyn Nets, and the Chicago Bulls. He's a bottom four player. Dallas, Sacramento, Phoenix, Memphis. Yes, he's a bottom four player.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think he cannot play in Utah.
I don't think he's got the cojones to play in a big market. I didn't think about it like that, but that's a fair point. Because
is Boston not a big market?
Boston is a big market, but Boston, he was successful in Boston because he was the number one option no matter what. It was him and everybody else. He is not capable of playing. Like, him and Kyrie would not work together. There's no chance that will work together.
I would agree with that.
So he's got to be the option. That's it.
One other Laker discussion. Do you pay Julius Randle? This is a huge question in Lakerland right now.
Conversation.
Because they want two max contracts. I'm still confident they could get LeBron James. I still think that that's a very viable move for LeBron to end his career in Los Angeles. And I think with what's going on with Brody and OKC, I don't think there's any doubt that Paul George is going to test free agency. Nobody questions that.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? My question is, can you have LeBron and PG and Julius Randle?
That's a Julius
Randle
question.
That's a lot
question.
Of Jack.
That's a Julius Randle question.
If you're paying $60 million to two players, is Julius Randle going to get a $20 million deal? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would be. I don't know. I just think that if you're Julius Randle and you can't tell me you haven't thought about what it would be like to play with LeBron. And if Paul George is there, that's a nice addition. But guys want to play with the best in the game. And Julius Randle has never had that opportunity in my... I mean, he had Kobe, right? He played with Kobe for
a minute. But he was too young.
Yeah, he was too young to really appreciate it. So in his current form, where he's at now, you can't tell me he would turn down an opportunity to play with LeBron. The problem is he's not going to make the money he wants to make.
Well, and that's the real issue right there, is that you're turning down a significant amount of money if you're Julius Randle. Because think about it in these terms. Who does Julius Randle match up with? A lot of people say that he is a poor man's Draymond Green, right? Draymond's a much better defender, but they do similar things. They bang, they're physical in the paint.
I would say that's offset by Julius's offensive game, though.
Are you willing to pay Julius Randle $18 million a year? Because that's what Draymond's getting. You know, I don't know that, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't. Because I would.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I am. But again, I think I am willing to pay him that, but I'm also putting a priority on getting LeBron and Paul George. You know, so I'm not giving Julius Randle the leverage if I'm the Lakers. I'm telling him, hey, look, here's the deal. We're going to sign LeBron James and Paul George. If that doesn't happen, we will pay you.
Yeah.
If that does happen, you're welcome to come back, and you need to negotiate with us so that we can fit you in the cap.
What about a guy? What about a number like a $18 to $20 million number? Like a he's in my opinion. Would you rather have Julius Randle or Blake Griffin?
Julius Randle.
Julius Randle.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying Julius Randle $32 million that Blake Griffin got.
He's not.
Right?
No.
You're not doing that. And then you start looking at other payrolls around the league. The Lakers next year are going to be arguably one of the top two or three payrolls in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're going to be Cleveland at $137 million this year. They're going to be, Miami, I think, is Miami like number two in payroll this year at $132 million? That's who they're going to be. Julius Randle has to have a home on that roster. Because the other guys are all team control. You know, Kuzma's team control. You look at Lonzo, team control. Missed more free throws last night. Has to become a better free throw shooter. Anyway, I just thought the Julius Randle conversation is really interesting.
It is.
Because I think you got to find a way to pay him. By the way, Gordon Hayward had a setback.
Very unfortunate.
And it looks like Gordon Hayward will not play this year. I was really hoping to see Gordon in more than a five-minute stretch for the Boston Celtics. But Danny Ainge today said two things that are pretty surprising, by the way. Gordon Hayward had a setback, a minor setback, about a month ago, and is not currently on the court. And then you have Kyrie Irving, who needs knee surgery after the season. I'm surprised that he would talk about that stuff openly. Like, why would you give... Cleveland that ammunition, Toronto that ammunition. Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's like in the NHL, they never say, oh, well, this guy's got a sprained knee. It's a lower body injury.
Yeah.
Don't know why. This is that same conversation. I agree with you. I don't know why Kyrie would name his specific injury and say that he needs surgery after the season, but he's going to try and leg it out. I think there's a mutual respect in the NBA. You don't go after guys' legs. You know, I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I don't know. I wouldn't have said it.
I wouldn't have just played it out. Your boy Kevin Durant, questionable for tomorrow night, has sore ribs. I mean, how many other guys can they lose and still win? They shouldn't have beat the Lakers played horribly last night. And they lost to Golden State.
Game. The Lakers should have won that game.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. If my aunt were my uncle, she don't.
But I think that says something about where the Lakers are at, right? Like,
I think it does, yeah. No question about
that. Largely the Warriors were hurt, but still.
Hey, I want to talk about cocaine.
Oh, boy.
A couple of non-sports stories. Well, Don Jr. getting divorced is not a sports story. But anyway, we'll get there.
Donnie.
John Skipper, the former president of ESPN, the four-letter... ESPN. Remember that little era?
Yes.
John Skipper, the former president at ESPN, went public today in saying that he resigned from ESPN because he was being leveraged by his cocaine dealer, that he would occasionally use cocaine, and that dealer was threatening to out him as a drug user. And he had to protect his family, and he felt like he had compromised ESPN. So he went to his bosses and resigned. I don't get it.
Maybe you shouldn't be using cocaine, bro.
I don't get it. You're the president of ESPN, and you're a cocaine addict. Like, are you serious?
Like,
are you serious?
This is what we always say about athletes, and I'm shocked that I'm having this same conversation about an ESPN executive. How is it that you're making all that money? You have a great career going, and you got to use cocaine?
Why? I don't get it.
Why?
I don't know.
You got leveraged by a nobody.
You lost stature. You lost your job. You probably lost the best part of your career.
You lost your life, bro.
You essentially lost your life because you bought cocaine, which is amazing to me. And while I agree that addiction is a mother, it is, I mean, so many in this country fight addiction. I'm not making light of that. I'm making light of the fact that it's so easy to lose everything you have when you are dealing with people like Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
You're Donald Trump, one of the most rich, wealthy, powerful men in the world. And you're having sex with porn stars, paying them $10,000 a hit, and flying them around the world on a private jet. And now you've gotten elected president, and it's coming back to bite you, figuratively speaking. I don't get that. And I look at Donald Trump Jr., he got divorced today.
Oh.
And why did he get divorced? Don't joke. I mean, divorce is a serious thing. Like, I'm a child of divorce. My parents are divorced. Divorce is a big deal. Donald Trump Jr. got divorced because his wife and his friends and his circle of friends say that his position in his father's election has gone to his head. They don't like his attitude and the way it's changed, and they don't like his aggressive nature on social media.
I mean, not everybody's cut out to have that kind of power and to be able to handle that kind of power and that kind of stature. And I think, you know, there's so many examples of that, and this is just the latest example. And I say, you know, more power to you for, you know, letting him go and saying, hey, just because you're, you know, the son of the president doesn't mean that you can be mean to everybody and disrespect people and not treat them the right way.
How difficult must it be to be married to somebody with the last name Trump?
Oh, it's very difficult, but I think at the same time,
would you marry Ivanka Trump?
No.
Because you know what you're getting into. Why wouldn't you marry her?
Because you know what you're signing up for. You know that you're signing up to, at some point or another, be in the spotlight for most likely a negative reason. And it's not good. It's not the life I'd want to live.
Is it weird that the Trump men, Don Jr., Eric Trump, Donald Trump himself, they are all married to women? And now Don is not. He's married to Ivanka. Or no, I'm sorry, he's not married to somebody that looks like Ivanka, but
right.
Eric and Don Jr. are married to women that look like Ivanka, and Donald Trump has sex romps with women that look like Ivanka, allegedly. Is that weird?
It's very weird, but
it's the whole thing is bizarre to me. Like that
but
whole
yet
thing.
That whole family is running our country.
What do you do if you're the first lady? I mean, you knew what you were getting into, right?
Again, this is a savage, cold-blooded, shouldn't say it kind of take. You make your money, you enjoy your life, and then you decide what you're going to do. I'm being serious, but because, like, put yourself in her shoes.
You are such a businessman about some of this stuff.
Like, put yourself in her shoes, right? So you're that unhappy. Obviously, you're unhappy about the Stormy Daniels thing. That on its own is grounds
for
divorce. By the way,
Melania was pregnant and had just given birth to Barron Trump, the Don's youngest son, Donald's youngest son, when the Stormy Daniels affair was happening. So she was pregnant and had just given birth, all the while he's out tapping Stormy Daniels, apparently.
Yeah, which, I mean, makes the whole thing just that much worse. And
yeah.
So in my opinion, if I was her, and if I wanted a divorce, let's say, and I wanted to leave that family, I would not do that until they're out of the White House, be it 4 or 8 years. And then, you know, once you're out of the political life, I would take action then, if you're going to take action.
Well, I think there's no doubt that Melania is going to be divorcing or at least living that single lady lifestyle. She does it now. They fly everywhere separately. They rarely are seen together or photographed together.
They're essentially divorced, just not on paper. In my opinion.
Yeah, they live separate lives. She didn't even want to live in Washington. Remember, she wanted to stay in New York.
Yeah.
But I find it almost impossible to be happy in that kind of sphere. It's why I say
in
things
Trump's
like
sphere.
Yeah, but also like the Kardashians. Think about that. Can you really be happy being married if you were not Kanye West, let's say, because Kanye comes with his own set of circumstances, but if you were married to, you know, Kim Kardashian, you were Kim Kardashian's husband, like, how is that going to end well for you?
It's not. It's not.
There's no way.
No. It's, right? It's too high octane. There's no way.
And if you think of any of the most famous families, the Kennedys, I'm telling you, CNN does great documentary work. You know, I don't care what you think of fake news,
Yitch.
Whatever you think of all that. Their documentary work is the Patty Hearst documentary, this series they're doing on the Kennedys, fantastic. It's amazing to me that anybody would want to marry into the Kennedy family. I have no idea why that is a thing.
Yeah, and I don't even think the Kennedys carry the reputation that the Trumps do. It's different.
Think about marrying into the Jackson family, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson,
no,
LaToya.
Never. Yeah. Nope.
No, I'm good.
Nope.
Like, how do you make that decision rationally and say to yourself, I'm doing it? Like, you're a not single guy who's not married.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to be awkward. But imagine if you ran into Kourtney Kardashian and you guys fell in love. I would do everything I could do to talk you out of that. And if you wouldn't, I would torpedo it.
You...
Like, I would try. Like,
Russian because, nerve gas.
Because you're headed. Okay, let's not get carried away, Vladdy. But you're headed for doom.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you marry into the Trump family.
You don't. I mean, well, you do, but you know what you're getting
you
into.
You did. And freaking Jared Kushner even.
Yeah.
Jared Kushner, my firm belief is Jared Kushner eventually winds up in prison. Right, and that what happens
that's
to him?
Bro.
What happens to him in prison? Totally different
that
story.
Prison rules, bro.
But you married into the Trump family, and because of that, you were going to wind up in prison. Well, and you're dumb, and you made some really bad choices. But the point
besides
is
that.
The point is, like, it just is misery being married to anyway. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. The Yankees are going to win the World Series, and I just I'm a diehard Cub fan.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just keep it real, okay? Can we please just keep it real? The New York Yankees are going to win the World Series. They were playing today. I don't even remember who they were playing, but it doesn't matter. They were playing in spring training today. First and second, one out. Aaron Judge walks. Bases loaded for Giancarlo Stanton. Ground ball, fielder's choice. Two outs. Oh, you dodge a bullet, right? Thankful. Man, that's over. Wrong. Gary Sanchez comes up. Two out. Bases clearing double to the opposite field. Like, okay, I give up.
They were playing the Pirates, by the way.
Thank you. I hate Cervelli. So, Cervelli's one of those guys. You know how you just have players? And it's like, Cervelli just pisses me off. I don't have a real reason for it. He just does. But you look at their lineup, Judge, Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, where's the out in this lineup? Aaron Hicks.
Brandon Drury.
Brandon Drury's one of them. There's no doubt about that.
Neil Walker.
Well, and Neil Walker, by the way, Neil Walker signs with the Yankees. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've been working out. I'm in great shape. I'm ready to go. You know what everybody says. They put him into a minor league game. He goes 2-for-3 with two doubles and played seven innings. And he's like, yeah, I feel great. I'm ready to go. Like the New York Yankees,
the swag that takes is ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. And then you look at their rotation. Now, sure, Masahiro Tanaka is going to give up like 50 home runs this year, but Luis Severino is going to be solid. CC Sabathia looks good. He's fat. Sonny Gray pitched really well today. I thought their bullpen: Chapman, Dave Robertson, Dellin Betances.
Good luck.
They're going to win the World Series. I think, and I never thought that I would say this, because if you look up and down the American League, Boston, I think, is going to be pretty good. Cleveland's going to be good again. The Houston Astros, everybody's like, Houston's going to fall off. Yankees are going to win the World Series. Oh, Houston, you know, the reigning World Series champion. Yeah, they got Gerrit Cole. The World Series champion, Houston Astros, got Gerrit Cole. Like, the American League is going to be unbelievable.
I'll be curious to see as the season plays on and as we get into the summer months, the June, July, August months, what is it that teams figure out on how to beat the Yankees? Because inevitably, there's always something. There's always a small part of the game where the team is weak.
It's injuries. It's gonna be injuries. One of them. Because their rotation is littered. Tanaka's going to get hit hard. They're going to have – you probably need 10 starting pitchers at one point or another during the season. Because you're close. Tony La Russa used to say that it's about 75 players that get you through a season. And a lot of that is pitching. You probably need 2.5 times your five-man rotation. You're going to go through, I don't know, you're probably going to go through 25 guys in the bullpen. Like, you go through volume guys.
Yeah.
It's injuries that will separate. Is Sabathia done? He looks pretty good. How long can he stay healthy? It's those kinds of questions that I think matter. And RKB on Periscope, hey, I hope it happens. He said, I'd love to see a Cubs-Yankees World Series. I think it'd be a great matchup.
That would be great for baseball.
Yeah. Because the Cubs, I got to be honest with you, the Cubs look really good right now. And I'm usually a pessimist who thinks the world's ending. The Cubs look really good right now. And you're seeing great at-bats out of Happ and Schwarber, and Wilson Contreras is hitting bomb after bomb, and, you know, Jimenez looks really good as a backup catcher, and it's the backup spot has been a huge problem for the Cubs behind the plate. He looks really good.
Yep.
Darvish has looked great. Lester Hendricks has been dominant. You know, so they look really good. They have an issue where they've got too many outfielders. Like, they have all the problems that great baseball teams have.
Well, and that's a great luxury to have. And what that means is you're gonna make a trade at some point, and you're gonna add more talent.
Yeah,
better talent.
Yeah. How do you sit Almora? Because now, just watching this week, here we are on Thursday already. I don't know how that happened, but Albert Almora Jr., I think, is going to wind up being their fourth outfielder. Behind Ian Happ, who's going to start in center field for the Cubs. Like, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Albert Almora is likely top three center fielders in all of baseball. Defensively,
he's ridiculous. There's no question about it.
And the guy can rake. The guy can rake. He's going to hit you. If he plays full-time, Albert Almora Jr. will get you 20 bombs. No doubt about that. Now, as fast as he is, you really need him to have a 400 on-base percentage. I don't know that he's that guy yet. But Happ is a second-year guy. Like, the Cubs, anyway, the point is, the Cubs have all the problems that World Series championship teams have. They have all this depth. They have all this stuff. I think it's one of those things where you have to find a way to get your best talent on the field every single day.
How do you define your best talent, if you're the Cubs, specifically?
Ian Happ's going to have to be a utility infielder.
Yeah.
Because, and no offense, I don't think Tommy La Stella should make the team.
No.
I think, and he's a great bat, he's a professional hitter, but Ian Happ's got to be an infielder at some point, because that's the only way that you're consistently going to play Happ and Almora Jr. So I don't know. There's going to be some there's going to be some very difficult decisions. Is this either that, or this is where Ben Zobrist comes to an end? And I don't think they're at that point yet. Because you know that Baez is going to be hurt. He just looks like a guy that is going to be dinged up this year. You're going to need, if you're starting four, you probably need 12 infielders during the year. You know, on a really good team like the Cubs, you probably need 8. So there's going to be opportunities. It's just a matter of who that opportunity is going to come at the expense of. Because don't forget also, Javier Baez isn't exactly a silver slugger either. The guy hits bombs, but he doesn't hit consistently. Anyway, all of that to say, this is going to be one of the truly epic baseball seasons. The way things have played out, the Yankees are back. Dare I say, the New York Mets, on paper, the New York Mets are back on the rotation. Like, I mean, Noah Syndergaard has just been flaming dudes
easily all
spring long. DeGrom has had some setbacks, but Matt Harvey looks like the Dark Knight again. Like,
they need him to be.
So there's a lot of teams that look really good. Now, in the National League, we're probably only talking about the Dodgers, Cubs, Nationals, until the Brewers prove they can get guys out consistently.
Yeah.
But Ryan Braun is having an unbelievable spring. I think the Cardinals and Reds are pretty pedestrian. The Pirates are not going to be good.
Giants.
The Giants are back. I don't know what to make of the Dodgers. And this is probably a tomorrow conversation. But the Dodgers, in my mind, are a club that is undefined. You know, Bellinger and Seager are a big part of that team. But I don't think Kershaw's the guy anymore that can carry the whole rotation. And I don't see a lot of quality in that rotation. And I still don't think, I can't believe, cannot believe that they did not go and sign Neil Walker.
Yeah, that like, was pretty much shocking.
I'm still really surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because that was a hole, and he can't, isn't he playing for $5 million or something stupid like that?
Yeah, something like that. I believe so, yeah.
Like almost nothing. It costs the Yankees almost nothing to get Neil Walker. And I look at the holes in this Dodger lineup. I think Chris Taylor's a guy that's probably going to hit you 20 home runs, 25 home runs.
Neil Walker's making $4 million.
That's ridiculous.
One-year deal.
A one-year, $4 million deal, or you can just stay with Logan Forsythe. Is Logan Forsythe going to break 10 home runs? Will he get you double-digit? Maybe. I don't know. Right? Like, so I think the Dodgers are largely undefined.
Yeah.
And we can have this conversation about how great, you know, Puig and Bellinger and Turner, Justin Turner, legit. Absolutely legit. Has gotten better defensively every year. I think we all understand that Justin Turner's a guy that's going to be on base. He's going to hit home runs. He's going to hit for a high percentage. My guess is that he's close to 400 on base percentage. He'll hit you. He's easily going to hit 300. I think it's just a matter of, what do you expect from him? Is he, if I'll go this far, if Justin Turner slugs 520, they win the National League. Because you know that you're going to have guys, you know, like you're going to have a Chris Taylor who's probably going to slug you 475. You know that Corey Seager is going to get you 500 slugging percentage. It's Justin Turner that's got to have in the three hole in their lineup, which is where I would guess he would hit. If Justin Turner drives in 115 runs, and slugs at a high clip, is on base 380, 400?
Yeah.
Okay, they're going to be a dominant force. But that means that Corey Seager's got to get on in front of him.
I still think even if they do that, the pitching will let them down at one point or another.
Well,
I don't believe that Kershaw is going to be healthy the whole year.
Kershaw, Wood, Maeda, Hill, and Ryu.
Maeda is very beatable. Ryu, again, health.
Well, Rich Hill had a really good year last year.
He did, but can you count on that again?
Oh, he'll have a bounce back year. He'll be 4.5 ERA. You know? Okay, now I'm being a dick.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is...
Yeah, we get it. We get it.
The point is, they're just... Okay.
They exist.
All right. Clayton Kershaw, 2 ERA, as long as he's healthy. Kenley Jansen, he's going to get you 40 saves. The question is... Is the league going to figure out Bellinger? And when that happens, how long will the slump be? Here's the other guy, the other X factor that we haven't talked about yet. How do they play Matt Kemp? Are you going to play Matt Kemp over Jock Peterson?
I think that all depends on how Jock Peterson hits.
Is Jock Peterson a star?
Not yet.
I don't think he's a star at all.
No, he's got star potential in him, but he's got to be way more consistent offensively. You can't go...
Strikes out a ton.
You can't be that guy. You can't be the Mr. Strikeout constantly and fly out constantly. You need to be trend more towards what Justin Turner does.
But then where do you think I'm going to go for the National League pennant?
The Nationals.
It's got to be the Washington Nationals, right? I think it's the Cubs and the Nationals. And I've looked at this and looked at this. And I still think the Nationals, they have holes in all the right places. Wow, that came out wrong. Anyway, the point is, hello, Adam Eaton is a guy that you can live with in left field because you've got Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and Anthony Rendon, who Rendon's an interesting guy.
Underrated.
But how long does he go underrated and how long is it going to be until he has a bad season? Because that's...
It's hard to say, but I think it's difficult to have a bad season when you have a lot of other talent on your team. I mean, if Bryce Harper's doing his thing, Rendon's going to fly under the
radar. Rendon's not slugging 5.5. What did he do? I can't remember what he slugged last year. He's not going to slug 500 this year again, is he? I guess in that lineup, when you're between Bryce and Ryan Zimmerman, if Zimmerman's hitting, here's another question for you. Jason Wirth is no longer on this team.
Which is good for them. in my opinion.
Are you telling me then that Michael Taylor and Adam Eaton can replace and then be plus Jason Worth, Michael Taylor, Bryce Harper? I mean, like, Jason Worth did some things that I know that he was old and defensively he had slipped. He could still hit you that line drive home run when you needed it.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I'll be really interested to see exactly what their lineup winds up looking like.
Don't forget Murphy.
Well, but I like Murph a lot. But at what point does, because is he back playing yet? Knee surgery, right? At what point does Daniel Murphy come down to earth? He's a great hitter. But at some point, the negative defense you get out of Daniel Murphy is not going to be worth it.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess they'll play Kendrick at second base right now, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I would do. And Howie Kendrick is not going to kill you offensively. You know, he's not going to be a terrible presence at the plate. The guy can hit.
Yeah, Daniel Murphy had knee surgery October 20th. Questionable to start the season.
I mean, Either way, they'll have him for most of the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But the other question here is Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio, Tanner, Roark, AJ Cole. That's their projected five. First three are rock solid. Gio will have those starts where he gets lit and walks 15 guys. Right? But when you have Doolittle and Ryan Madsen and Brandon Kinsler and...
Yeah, but again, you know, it's nice to have those names. And I would say this applies to any great bullpen. You can't wear those guys out. They can be great arms, and they are great arms. Mm-hmm. Can't wear them out. Gio's got to give you a good season. And really, you need a good season from all five of your guys. And I'm not saying that Strasburg and Scherzer are not going to have a good year. They are. They're going to do what they always do. What I am saying, though, is that for the fourth and fifth starter, they need to carry their weight.
Is Trey Turner a top 100 player in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he is, too. This is the year I think he breaks out and just becomes a super, super star. One last thing before we depart, dearly departed. What the hell is United Airlines doing?
Not doing their job.
Okay, so you know they killed a puppy, right? They put a
savage just to hear.
I'm just throwing out the facts, man. I can't make it up.
Hey, you guys heard that they killed a puppy on their plane?
Fly the friendly skies. Unless you're a puppy. And
United we stand with all the dead puppies.
We shouldn't joke. Puppies are our friends. I have two. United Airlines this week forced a passenger who had a carry-on dog piece of luggage.
A dog carrier.
With a Frenchie, a French bulldog, in the dog carrier. I think the dog was 8 months old. In a soft-sided dog carrier. And they were struggling to fit that dog carrier under the seat in front of them. The flight attendant said, hey, F you, that's going up in the overhead. Fight, fight, fight. Okay, fine, we'll put it up there. One thing leads to another, and the dog's dead.
Oops.
Right? So you would think that they would take care of the dogs, right? Like, United Airlines would go way the heck out of their way to take care of their dogs, right? Because if you're not flying dogs, and at some point, the difficult conversation, and I'm not trying to be an a-hole.
But you're being an a-hole.
At what point do we ban dogs flying, pets flying? At what point do we say, hey...
Outside of service animals.
Well, yeah, I think you're always going to have to get a pass for service animals. Yeah. But little Jimmy and Karen want to bring their
Golden
Labrador.
Retriever.
Yeah. Sorry. Hey, man, take the bus. Can't bring
the bus overseas right? to Japan.
Amtrak, straight line. You know, Amtrak gets you there. That's what
it's
I'm saying.
It's the tube under the ocean.
Hey, you know, Elon flies, you know, Teslas in space.
It's the Tesla electric bus thing.
Yeah, have your dog fly the Tesla thing. Anyway, the point is, at what point does United stop sending dogs that were supposed to go to Kansas City to Japan? That's today's United Airlines dog story. A dog that was supposed to go to Kansas City wound up in Japan.
Oh.
First things first, if you're the owner of that dog, are you just like, hey, wait, where'd my dog go? Right? Or do you freak out?
I'd be upset.
Well, no kidding. This is a German Shepherd.
How do you lose a German Shepherd,
so
bro?
This is not a small dog that's like, oh, we didn't see your Chihuahua over there in
the... Dude, this isn't a lap dog, man. This is the dog that cops use. This is a German Shepherd, man.
A 10-year-old German Shepherd named Irgo. Okay, who names their dog? See, work with me. See, he can't make this stuff.
I'm not trying to be an a-hole. But
okay, my dog's name is Rhino, after Ryan Sandberg, right? Anyway, Irgo, I-R-G-O. Irgo's odyssey began Monday when his owner, Kara Swindle, hello, dropped him off at the airport in Portland, Oregon, ahead of the family's move to Wichita, Kansas. You moved from Portland to Wichita?
That's dumb.
Your life is going to hell. Anyway, Swindle said Irgo flew United Airlines to Denver where he spent the night. Wow, you love your dog? You made him fly by themselves? Hey, why don't you drive from Portland to Wichita?
Why would you not drive?
Hello? The next day, Irgo was scheduled to land in Kansas City at the International Airport to be reunited with his family at the United Airlines cargo facility.
That would have been nice.
Aww. That didn't happen. According to Swindle, it took several hours for United to figure out, hey, what the hell happened to Irgo? They couldn't find the dog. United Airlines allows them to go to the cargo facility to pick up their dog. Dog's not there. The paperwork of his food for the dog said Japan. So at that point, they realized that's probably what happened and got it switched up somehow. They sent Fido, because I'm not saying Irgo again, they sent Fido to Japan. Swindle said United Airlines told her that they're investigating how this happened, but they offered her a theory. One thing they're thinking right now is that somehow as pet resorts in, what? Is that somehow at the pet resort at the Denver airport, where the dogs are taken out of their kennel to go paw, they somehow got switched. United Airlines is working with Fido's family, not Irgo, Fido's family to get him back home. Swindle said Wednesday night, United told her the plan was to send Irgo on a flight that would land Thursday night in Wichita. How, like, are you suing? Are you... You're not going to sue over this, I don't think, right?
It just depends on what kind of shape the dog's in when you get the dog back.
What do you mean? Like, if
the dog has any kind of injury, let's say, or but if anything this be, happens.
But shouldn't you get some travel vouchers out of this garbage?
You should get, you know, some kind of a first-class ticket to
everywhere
Dublin
for the rest of your life.
No.
How much is this worth?
This is worth two trips. This is worth two.
That's it. Oh, come
two
on.
Two there and back.
It's got to be worth more than that. They sent my dog to Japan. From Portland to Japan. Now, granted, the dog probably was a stowaway because it didn't want to live in Wichita, which I totally understand. I think we all know what happened to Dorothy and her little
Let's
dog.
Let's remember
too.
What happened to Wichita and Zombieland. That didn't work out.
Oh, yeah.
So well.
Wichita was terrible in the movie Zombieland. What was the dog's name on?
On what?
Over the Rainbow. The Wizard of Oz. Oh, my goodness.
Toto.
I just forgot
it's
the Wizard
Toto.
Of Oz.
Are
it's
you
Toto.
Kidding?
Yes. Toto. Thank you. My wife is looking at me like
See,
I'm
but,
a
no,
criminal.
I'm not even going to go down the movie.
Toto.
We're not having that conversation.
You've never seen... You've never...
Yes,
you've
I
never
have.
Seen, oh, my... You've never seen Over the Rainbow, Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
The
no,
original. Have
no,
you seen
no,
the original?
I'm not doing it.
Admit it. You haven't seen...
Yes, I have.
The original Wizard
yes,
of Oz. How
yes.
does it end?
I'm not telling you.
Because you don't freaking
know. No, because I actually don't remember because I was so young when I watched it.
You know, that's one of those movies, and you can actually look this up on the interwebs. Do you realize that Wizard of Oz, why can't I say it? Wizard of Oz is one of the movies that people don't know how it ends. Like, it ends with her being back in Kansas. Like,
it all
of the characters. Yeah, all the characters are like her uncles and family and stuff. The dog's dead. But, you know, that... If you haven't
what
seen,
is up with this and the damn dogs?
By the way, the dog's not dead. I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm being a jerk. The point is, don't fly your dog on United Airlines.
Ever.
And I'd highly recommend if you're going to fly your dog, fly it on Hawaiian. Because the worst thing that's going to happen is you got to go to Hawaii to pick your dog up.
Hell yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Do you feel
Should
better?
Should we tell people why we're not playing music right now?
Yeah, do it.
Because if you're watching on Periscope, you don't know this, but we play music every day to end the show and to start the show. And we played music to start the show today, but we're not playing music to end the show. Because SoundCloud says that we have violated copyright law. Thank you, Kanye West. They deleted a podcast of ours. Episode 72?
Six.
72. Yeah, because this is what, 93 or something? They deleted episode 72 because we used a Kanye West song to end the podcast.
Right.
And they said that we violated copyright. So.
Wait, do you hear that?
Hear what?
Goodbye, Jake.